Praise the Lord. So I'll just pick a few questions from this long epistle I have here. Epistle to St. Banky. Is the Antichrist a person or figure that will come out? Or is it a person with doctrine against the ways of Christ? Is 666 literal? Hey. These are very long questions, sir. Sorry, please, whoever asks this question, they are so long, I'm not going to answer everything. I'm just going to pick a few, and I'll give you a few answers. And you must bear in mind, I also don't know everything, all right? Let me start with this issue of 666. This is a bit off, like we said earlier, try and stick with the main core of what we are talking about. So this is a bit off, but I'll just explain a few things to people. Now, the scriptures, the way it is, sometimes you have double interpretation for the same thing. If I was reading my book of Revelations a few days ago, I noticed something there. They're talking about the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Those 10 horns represented 2 things at the same time. If you read the book of New Living Translation, it will make it easier. He said, this is what it means. Now, it also means this. It represents 7 mountains. It also represents this. Do you understand? Now, I'm not bringing out an issue here. 66, is it literal? Is there a person like that? Yes, I believe there's an antichrist, an individual. Now, are they going to print 666 on people's heads, on the back of their hands? I doubt. What did I say? Now, but that's my personal doubt. Because you can only interpret things in line with what you are seeing around currently. From what I can see currently, it is pretty unlikely. However, when you read the scriptures, head and right hand often have deep meanings. Right hand often has to do with your work. I hope you're getting my point here. It often has to do with your work. So, it may not be literal. And I think those who are looking for the literal interpretation of it are likely to take the mark without knowing. Did you hear what I said? If you're waiting for somebody to stamp your hand and nobody's stamping it, you will take the mark not knowing you have taken it because there's no stamp. So what I'll just say is there is this spirit of Antichrist. And I think Christians don't be concerned about how to interpret some things unless you are, in fact, let me put it like this. Your primary concern should be about how your life is affected by understanding. I don't know what I get my point. Let me give an example now. You won't take the mark of the beast. Amen?
Amen.
So whether mark of the beast comes while you're alive or not, live a life that is worthy of the Lord. There is a spirit of Antichrist. Simple interpretation of that is that somebody said, is it any spirit that's against Christ? Look, John said it, there are already many Antichrists in the world. So you can see just not one person. There are many. But the truth is that there is a spirit. And basically, Antichrist is not anti-God. Did you hear that? Antichrist is different from anti-God. Anywhere Jesus is not magnified is a spirit of Antichrist, including in Christian churches. If Jesus is not magnified, then they are operating with the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay, that's the only thing I can quickly talk about in that area. Now, sorry, whoever wrote this, the only other thing I can jump into, the other ones requires lectures on eschatology. I don't even know it. Did you hear what I said? Which day will some, what is the 17 weeks of Daniel? Don't let me say I don't know. Okay, let's say I don't care for now. So let's just leave the matter. The Lord is good. Now, the gospel of eternal security is coming up in this land. What is eternal security? Once saved, always saved. Is a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
Open your Bible, 2 Peter. Or is it 1 Peter chapter 2? Anybody wants to see this differently? Let me just say it's on his own. No? I think the Bible is so clear on some things. I want us to go down to 2 Peter chapter 2. For time's sake, I won't read everything, please. We'll just go down to a particular verse, then I would trust you. Go and read the preceding verses yourself. Just read verse 17. Okay, let me just read a few verses. These are springs without water. He's describing some people. Are you getting my point? Second, eh? Chapter 2. He said, these are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Verse 18, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires. Sorry, please. Let me read a simpler translation. There's a reason why. Let me read a New Living Translation. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They lure back into sin those who have done what? Escaped. Did they escape? Yes. He said they just managed to escape. He said they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whoever controls you. And when, now notice this, verse 20. This is where I was going. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get entangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It will be better if they had never known the way of righteousness, the way to righteousness, than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to its vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Common sense. They were sinners. Amen? Then they knew in the way of righteousness. They were saved by the knowledge of Christ. True or false? I'm just reading that scripture. Nothing. I'm not telling you to tell me what you learned from somewhere else. Just what Peter said there. Now, so a sinner is saved by the knowledge of Jesus, knows the way of righteousness. Let me ask you a question. Peter said he goes back to his old ways. Which one is better? If the man is still saved as a sinner, is his later stage, this is current stage now, worse than the initial stage? Now, remember there are three stages we are dealing with now. First, he was in sin. Then, he came out of sin through the knowledge of Christ Jesus into righteousness and freedom. Second stage. Third stage, he goes back into sin. Now, if the third stage, now which stage is better? Let's look at it. If one saved is always saved, let us assume one saved is always saved. Let's just assume. I'm not saying you agree, just assume. We have three stages. Stage of sin, stage of he's born again, then he's back in sin after being born again. Which one, if one saved is always saved, which one is the worst of these three stages? Eh? This is common sense. No, listen. If once a man is saved, he's always saved. So he became born again, then he went back into sin, but he's still saved. How can that be worse than when he was never saved? The worst stage is the first. Because he was never saved. Then he became saved. Then he went back in sin, but he's still saved. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Sir, you are not following me apparently. What I said is assume one saved is always saved. It's an assumption. Let's just assume it. Please, just assume. Eh? The man was a sin. He became saved. Then he went back into sin. But somebody tells me, once you are saved, you are always saved. Apparently, his stage 3 is not as good as stage 2. We all agree. But it's definitely better than stage 1. A man who is in sin but is saved is better than the man who is in sin and is not saved. Is that not true? But Peter said the third stage is the worst. Peter said, first, you are not saved. You are in sin. Then you are saved. You are out of sin. Then you go back into sin. And this is worse than when you were not saved. Does it make common sense that you are still saved? That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Peter said the last stage is worse than the first, which means the man who got saved, who went back into sin, is worse than the one who was never saved. So common sense tells us to say one saved is always saved is senseless. I don't even like discussing it. Only though, I don't know why people even consider believing it. I never used to think about it until people started preaching it. And I said, how can you, which scripture do you use to defend it? The Bible says clearly to us, the man who knew, you know what he said? Read this for me, read it. Hey, this, let's not use common sense, because some of you, I want to say everybody follow now. I want you to follow, because people are not following. Because if you're following me, if you want to tell me that the third stage is the worst, is the worst, because if one saved is always saved, it can't be the third stage. If he says the worst, then you believe that one saved cannot be always saved. In which case, the third stage is the worst. And I agree with you. In fact, I don't have to agree with you. Peter agrees with you. Are you getting my point? But like I was saying, we're just supposed to assume that one saved is always saved. If one saved is always saved, that cannot be the worst. That cannot be the worst. Look at what he said. Verse 21 said, it would have been better if he had never known the way to righteousness. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If the man was still saved, how will you say it would have been better he never knew salvation? Let me summarize what I have said. If a man was not saved, and he was in sin, and he went into salvation through the knowledge of Christ, if one saved is always saved, even if he went back into sin, his former, this last stage is still better than when he never knew Christ. That means it's not possible for one saved to be always saved, simply because Peter told us that this stage is worse than the former. And he now said to us clearly in verse 21, it would have been better if he was never saved. I think common sense, reading that scripture, tells us. And then we can see many other scriptures, I just don't have time for it. But you can go and read the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, into chapter 6. For time's sake, I will not read it, but this is one thing people keep on arguing over. And I don't know how they manage to interpret it for themselves. If you read from verse 11 of chapter 5 into chapter 6 and verse 8, you will see in verse 7, no, from verse 4, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of the Lord and powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Please go and read that whole segment yourself. Whoever is propagating that gospel in Makurdi, please tell him to go back to Lagos where he came from. That's where they all come from. Okay, no, that's also in the... but not Enugu anyway. We don't preach such things in Enugu. The Lord is good. All right. So some of these questions are personal counsel and they don't follow, you know. Sorry, I can't answer all of them. All right? The Lord is good. Okay, let me see this other one. Now, somebody is saying here, I've been pastoring in a church where they use all kinds of methods to raise money. It's not new. It's common. Tax, levy, cajoling, coercing, threatening, all kinds of things. I've been trying to practice that which I know is God's way, but I'm only viewed as a rebel. What did you expect? That they will view you as a champion? Of course not. I've been searching for a ministry with such truthful teachings as the kind I envisage but hard to come by. I'm waiting for your question. Okay, is it that God has prepared me and is leading me to found a near unique ministry? There's nothing unique about telling the truth, my brother. Don't even think, not uniqueness, there's nothing unique about it. The question should be, should you live where you are? Don't even feel anything is unique. Elijah thought he was the only one serving God. God said, there are 5,000 people I've kept somewhere. So let's just get that one very clear. Let's start with that one. But your question is God asking me to leave? I don't know. I can't answer it. I'm sorry. All of us know that the answers to this, there are plenty. It could be stay, but be a thorn in their flesh. What do I mean by thorn in their flesh? When they say do it, I know they do. They will suspend you. They will recall you. It could be just go away. for a while and do nothing. It could be if you are not called before to start a church, this is not reason to start. I don't know what is my point. Do you get my point? So it is not your dissatisfaction is a normal Christian response to bad doctrine. If you were not a preacher self, you would be angry. What a lot of Christians have done today, they don't go to church anymore. I hope you know that. A lot of Christians, what they just do now, they don't go to church. They just stay at home. Now, I'm not going to say that response is common. You have an issue simply because you're a preacher. So you have those issues. It is not a call to ministry. Are you getting my point? It doesn't mean that because of they are doing what is wrong, God has now called me to start my own. We just continue to pray. Like I said, I don't have an answer. I'm not giving you a prophetic word. Now, because we are doing teaching, it's difficult for me to... I have to speak only general principles. So generally, these are the principles. Does it mean it's a call? No, it means they are doing what is wrong. Does it mean you should leave them? I don't know. Sometimes you get to a point, your conscience is so defiled, you have to use common sense to just walk away. But if it's like what I used to say, I know people who pastor branches, they have issues like that. I said, just refuse to do it in your branch. And then take the consequences. I don't know what I get the point. I know churches where when they go to headquarters, you will not be promoted. Eh? That's the result. That's what is called labor of righteousness. The reward of righteousness. Lack of promotion. I don't know what I get in my point. Say, okay, when we are going to headquarters, it's those who bring money that they sit in front, they sit at the back. Delight yourself in having the opportunity to instruct those you are instructing. But if you are in a place where every Sunday, pastor says, you go and do it. If you do it, you will die. Are you getting my point? I'm not joking with you. Refuse. Let him sack you. And go and tell lies in the name of the Lord. You think God will say it's because it's your power that said it, he will spare you. Go and read the story of the old prophet and the young prophet. The one that God sent to Jeroboam. So if you are in that kind of place now, you are afraid of dying. Say, oh God, that is... You know, let me tell you something. This is how life is. You ask yourself, do I want to offend God or I want to offend man? I was listening to, reading Jerry Savelle once. He said one day, Oral Roberts told him to go and do something about offering and all of that. That he knew the thing was wrong. So he turned to Oral Roberts and said, I'm sorry, sir. You know I won't do it. Do you get my point? Let me tell you how their relationship is. Kenneth Copeland looks up to Oral Roberts. Jerry Savelle looks up to Kenneth Copeland. So you see the gap. Yet, Oral Roberts told him to do something. He told him straight, sir, I don't know why you're asking me to do this, but I'm sorry I can't do it. So Roberts now laughed. Well, let me make a long story short. He said it was just a test or something. Let's just summarize it like that. Oral Roberts now laughed and told him not to bother, that he was just checking him out. But let's make a long story short. Jerry Savelle told Oral Roberts, I will not do it. I'm not teaching people to be rebellious, but if what you, like, one of my sisters told me that in their church, they told them that, when pastor calls for those who will give 5 million, all you women stand up. He said, excuse me, I don't have 5 million. He said, it doesn't matter. Just stand up so that to encourage other people. And it was leaders meeting. When she told me, I said, my sister, you are lucky it's today you are telling me that. Otherwise, I will have personally ensured you paid that money. He said, I'm sorry. I said, no. He said, it's long ago. He said, yes. I said, let's forget it. I said, big denomination. I won't mention the name of the church. In church, if I mention all of you here, no. I said, what? Leaders meeting? That they are going to come out to raise money. When they say call for 5 million, 2 million, please, you people should try and stand up. And somebody said, what we don't have. He said, it doesn't matter. It's just to encourage other people. That is, tell a lie. So the church members are going to see that there and say, see Reverend Israel, he stood up 2 million. Meanwhile, he owing me 50,000, no grippy. That kind of thing. Don't stand up. Tell the pastor nicely, I'm sorry, sir. This will displease God, as far as I understand. And if that continues, it's common sense that you have to resign from there. But if you're in a branch where you are your own king, it's only report time. Report how much offering you have is now waiting you get now. But your offering is small, pastor. That's what they brought. I've seen people open branches, build churches just to get promotion. Let me just warn pastors. One day God is coming home to judge you. Don't think he just leave us forever. We'll be doing what we like. We'll be telling lies in his name. He's watching all of us. He's patient. He says it's a matter of time. Usually gives like 4 years. The fourth year, Allah go bust. Let's be careful, though, people of God, please. I beg you in the name of the Lord. So, summary to that, that's not necessarily a call to go and start. You have to continue praying. I don't have a specific answer for you. Somebody said, I've heard you say sin has no consequence after repentance. That is not what I said. Please, you are misquoting me. What I said, people say that when God forgives you, the consequences remain. I said that's a lie. God is powerful. Somebody say amen. He can forgive you and remove the consequences. Is it not possible? He's God now. Pastor, some preachers will be preaching and say, God, even though the Lord has forgiven you, the consequences remain. I say it's a lie. That you are removing people's faith. If we're asking for forgiveness and the sin has consequences, we can ask him, Lord, come on, wipe away this. What else is called forgiveness if you cannot touch these other things? How will he do it? That's why he's God and I'm not. But it would be wrong of me to say he can't do it. Okay, let me give you an example. True story I want to tell you. I believe it will charge the faith of people here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me of the story. A brother told me a man he met recently. Powerful testimony. He went for a course. Not Christian course, just office, you know, training. And this man, he said the way the man spoke, he knew there's something about this young man. So he went and met him at the end. He now started gisting. In the course of talking to him, he realized that he's a believer. So now he realized they are both believers. He now gave the testimony of his life. How he went into riotous living. And how Jesus, he got saved through a vision. The way Paul got saved on the road. This one was in his dream. That the Lord told him, I forgot, the story is fading from my mind now. But the Lord let him know that he doesn't have a long time. Make a long story short, he repented. He gave his life to Christ. He became a believer. He became free. He left his friends, left the gangs that he was ruling with, all the things they were doing, drugs and all of that. That one was cleaned out of his life. Then, one day, he was sleeping again. I don't know whether I was asleep or a vision. And the Lord appeared to him in that vision again. The same Lord that appeared to him the first time. And listen to this. He said to him, you have an injury I need to cure you of. Did you hear what I said? He said, you have an injury. The guy was like, injury? I don't know. I'm okay. He didn't think anything of it. Then I don't know what led to it anyway. He went for HIV screening and found that it was HIV positive. He said, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. How did he get HIV? The days of riotous living. He and his friend would go and carry prostitutes. That was where he picked it from. And Jesus, this is a true story that happened in Nigeria, not happened in America, one preacher somewhere. No. And the Lord had told him, this is how you will get the healing. Go to a particular river. Go and get baptized. So that day he went to that place. He was wondering, who will be there? He saw one pastor waiting for his church members. They are supposed to have a baptismal session, baptizing people. So he told the pastor, please. He said, what are you doing around? I have a baptism. Good, please, sir. The Lord told me to come here and be baptized. Let me make a long story short. Initially, that man was resistant. His own church members did not come. For you to know how God is working. Only this man showed up. So, okay, say, why not? He took him and baptized him in the name of the Lord. He came out of the water, went next for screening. He was HIV negative. Who tells me that Jesus does not remove consequences? What nonsense doctrine is that? That's what I preach. Don't weaken people's faith. If you don't know how we do it, leave it. He said, but what if I kill people? Will he wake them up from the dead? I don't know. But don't utter the statement that even though he has forgiven, the consequences remain. I don't know how we do it, but stop making that statement. It's an insult to him. That's what I preach. Can you elaborate more on the work of God inside? Please get the book, How to Work for God. I took like 50 pages to explain it. Please. Can I just say, I don't answer questions that tell me explain more on this. It's not a question. I'm supposed to elaborate. I don't know, get my point. Clarify confusion. You're demanding I do another seminar. Say, hey, you said something about Jesus is coming again. Explain more. That's not a question now. Question is something like, he's coming. Will he land on the... I found out that he will land on the right foot. The other pastor said he will land with his left foot. One man says his both feet. I said, all Christians should stand on their head when it's coming. What do we do? And that's the question. Now, this question, let me try and read that. Maybe somebody will help me clarify. I have learned today that my giving is not an added advantage. Did I say something like that? What you mean, I don't really get it. I'm saying you are not giving so because of what you are going to get. If that's what you mean, yes, I said so. It's not the reason why God answers you. Yes, I said so. God does not require it before he blesses you. Yes, I said so. And I mean it with all my heart. And I can say it again. But is giving good? Yes. What is an advantage? If I give to you, is that not an advantage, at least to you? So it's an advantage. Giving is always good. Paul told the people when they gave to him that it's counting in their records. Now he said, but you said, no, don't mix the two. They did not give because they wanted that. They gave because they loved Paul. Motive matters with God. And that's why I try to get Christians to understand. Have the right motive. Don't worry about the reward. Why would God give to you? Life is divided into two sides. Sonship, servanthood. Sonship is how we get things from God. And that's based on our faith in Christ Jesus. What about being a servant? We must be profitable servants. We don't want to be unprofitable. As profitable servants, we do things. But we want to go to God. We don't claim we have done, so he must do. We go and say, God, you know you love us. Thank you. That's all. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Then when we are living, we say, Lord, you know, we are servants of yours. What are we supposed to do? He will tell you these are the things to do. You do it. And you don't come back to him and say, hey, I have done it. What will you bless me with? He will slap you with the left hand. And that is exercising for when he will use the right. He doesn't joke. You never secretly in your mind come to Jesus and say, I have done that. What will you give me? You are going to get injured. Don't let these pastors lie to you that that's how he blesses people. It's a lie. He blesses people who come to him with no plea. That's why the sinner who just repented seems to be more blessed. Because he doesn't know how to brag. He's so grateful. Thank you, Lord. But Christian who has done everything say, before we ask, you will answer us. Why? You know how many souls we don't save? That church, now me build them. One day I was hearing this testimony. One man said, a man built a church. And his child now died. He told God, after I built you a church, the child now rose up from the dead. I told my wife, it's a lie. I was in the church service. I said, how do you know? I said, can it be true? You heard that? In fact, it was worse than what I still do now. What the man said? That the man put the child down. That God, take him. After I built you a church, you allowed my child to die. As he was leaving, the boy woke up. Daddy! Nonsense. What did I say? Nonsense. I told my wife, it's a lie. I said, this with the lies pastors tell when they want to raise money. Fat lie, robust lie, rolling lie. Prophet's lie. Don't you read the Bible? The Bible says, but he lied to him. I had that to my wife. I said, it's a lie. He said, how do you know? I said, because it is a lie. And I know lies when I hear them. The man tells you, I just landed from America. I said, how did you come? He said, an eagle brought me. You know, you are going to laugh. Once he said an eagle, what do you think? There must be the name of an airline. He said, no. Adaba, eagle. Normal eagle. You fly, bring me, come. Oh, okay. Nami, you won't deceive. So what do you think? You are Elijah. You know that kind of thing. Not that the eagle is waiting. I just want to pack my bag. You know, you just be laughing. That's what happened that day. I told my wife, it's a lie. Now, I hope we have clarified that. So advantage is to the people you give to. Do you have an advantage in your life? Actually, you do. Because Paul said, something accrues to your account. But I just emphasize that motive counts with God. He said it. Jeremiah said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind before I give a reward to anybody. And if you do for what you are going to get, it's called the labor of selfishness. It's not the labor of love. You will get nothing. Now, but having made a pledge to my church, is it compulsory to still give to the infrastructure for a blessing? No. You won't get any blessing. Why are you deceiving me and you? Just give to the infrastructure. Leave it there. I hope you are getting my point. Should you give to the infrastructure for a blessing? No. Did you make a pledge? Should you redeem it? Yes. If you don't redeem it, am I the one that will redeem it? You made the pledge. Go and fulfill your pledge. If you don't want to fully go and meet the pastor, let him release you. But it's easier to pay. Pay. You say, but you said, but did I say you shouldn't redeem your pledge? Go and redeem your pledge. It will teach you a lesson. For the blessing, no. Tell the pastor, please remove that blessing. It's no longer needed. And I'm not joking about that. One day I was in a particular church. One man was raising money. Big church, they had a big program. So my friend invited me. So the man was there telling stories. So I tell the person who invited us. I went with my wife. It was a lady, sister. I said, sis, what is he doing? Ah, he says one of our pastors, he knows how to raise money. I said, he's raising money. I said, no, don't laugh. I said, he's raising money. She said, yes. I said, so why is he telling lies? She started laughing, put her head down. She started laughing. I said, so why is he telling lies? Tell him to raise the money and leave that place. Raising money is not bad. It's the way you are doing it. Just say, brethren, we need 100 million naira. We are owing because they had a big facility. I said, please, as God blesses you, give us. I said, what's wrong with that? Which is all this story is telling about goat worship, cow worship, idol worship. I said, why do pastors like to tell lies? While he was doing his line, I copied the account number of the church was on the screen. I brought up my phone, whispered to my wife, how much are we giving them? We decided. I had the money. I transferred it, put the phone back in my pocket, put it back on flight mode, and continued the service. I said, why do people like to tell lies? I did not ask God for any blessing. I didn't need any special blessing. So you don't need any special blessing? Honestly, I don't need. All the ones I need, I already have. They are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing. The Bible says, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everyone stored in heavenly places. When I use the word heavenly places to let you know that nothing will spoil it. So I'm not asking God for any special blessing. I'm being faithful. How can my brethren be doing this kind of work? I enter the place, I go away, nothing will draw from my pocket. Is that Christianity? That's how I reason. I believe in what they are doing. God has blessed them. They need more money to finish what they are doing. Well, I'm not a member of the denomination or the church, but we've come today. So my wife and I said, well, let's drop something. So we reasoned. Thank God for internet transfer, mobile apps. I just whipped out my mobile app. Tap, 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 tap. It moved. Shut down my phone again. Put it back in my pocket. And I will continue service. I didn't even remember it again for a long time. It's people like you that make me remember when you ask questions like this. I gave to the infrastructure. But there was a church I was in one day. My wife said, let's give money. I said, lie. She tried to explain. You see, I said, hey, sweetheart. The prophet said no. I'm the prophet in the house. She said, why? I said, because I don't worship idols. I said, this offering is a worship of idols. I refuse. I had the reason. It was different from the other church that I told you. Different, two different churches. But I said, this one, I refuse. She said, why? I said, because I don't worship idols. If I give this money, I am worshiping an idol, and I refuse. Put my money in my pocket. The pastor talked in the tongue blue in the face. This guy, hard guy. I'm not giving you a dime. Shishi, he won't drop. What was my reason? I said, this is an idol. There was a church I was attending one time. They were raising money for something. I told one of the pastors in the church. He said, if we can get half now, we'll downpay. I said, if you get half and you downpay, watch me. You won't see me in this church again. He said, why? I said, because now you don't have it, we have peace of mind. I said, once you downpay half, no, just imagine today now, somebody said he was buying land for 50 million. He said, and then the church income, the church has never seen 1.5 million put together. He now said that if they can just see 25 million to down pay. I said, if you see 25 million, the balance will be a headache that will kill everybody. I said, the moment you tell me, praise the Lord, that we have paid half, I'm going to pack my wife, my children. Did I have children that time? I'm not even sure. But I said, I'm going. Why? This is idolatry about to start. Can't you just let God bless you in his time? Like I said, I know they give you a couple. Leave me. I know they give you that money. Leave me. If you don't get sense, don't take my money, pursue your foolishness. So, should you redeem your pledge? You made it, it's your pledge, not my own. Go and redeem it. To the infrastructure, you have made it. Just go and pay it. For the blessing, forget that. No, you don't need the blessing. Your blessing is in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you give that money for the blessing, you know what will happen to you? The one you have, God will collect it to. I know what I'm telling. That's what one brother do. They say, if you give this money, miracle in 1 week. He gave one huge amount. The pastor said, you gave this amount? He said, yes. Lay your hands on me. I want to bless you. The first day I saw that, and I thought it was Makenje. How many of you know Makenje comedy? I thought it was Makenje. My wife said, no, not be Makenje. I take my eyes on for church. I said, what? And that one foolishly did that. Did you get my point? After 2 days now, I want to bless. Oh, how many of you have been blessed? Come. I want to bless you. Put your hands upon me. You go do me. Come on. And they go, I'm going to where I came from. I should lay my hands on you. I thought you were a serious man of God until this point. How foolish do we get? The man actually put his hand on the man, and the man prayed for him. I say, which Bible do we read? That week, his life scattered. When I heard the story, I was just laughing to myself. So people are so dull of hearing. They are so blind. Where have you ever seen somebody lay hands on a preacher, so a prophet, so he might bless? When we start doing occultism, we don't know. The man was confused. But you will say, I will be blessed. I was laughing. When I was in school, there was a time I read two things. They said, you will sow a seed. I read the book. My body, they hurt like this seed. I saw one of my classmates. I sowed into his life. God said, this banker, I've anointed him to teach the gospel. He's going to be in Makodi teaching in November 2018. If I don't correct him now, he'll go and lie to them there. As I sowed that seed, God took two angels to hold my pocket. The camp broke where I see. Over the next few weeks, I couldn't believe it. Ah! They said, the book said miracle is in seed. God just locked me down. After I said, was that the faith I taught you? I said, no. Go back to the faith I taught you. One brother told me that. They said, God said, prove me now. I said, oh God, let's read the scriptures. The Bible didn't teach this titan thing like this. He said, no. You don't need to reason. You prove God. I said, okay. If not proving, that will not be wala now. My papa goes to send money. So my father sent money. Now I collect portion. I said, God, your children said, prove you now. Nothing spoiled. Who am I not to prove? As I proved him now, God said, what do I do to bank you? You know he's going to be in Makodi, November 2018. Teaches a seminar. So the angel said, what do we do? He said, release the devourer for him. Me, since I was in school, my teeth know they lost. I washed my clothes. Shh, boys collected it. That was the first time. You know, the other one I told you was my second. This was the first time that... Normally, my parents, they try for us those days. They go release money before communication gap happened. Something happened. Money went... I broke, eh? I wonder when the brother, I said, you said, prove me now. Experiment is over. It failed. He said, no, it is a seed. It takes time to germinate. I said, no. You said, prove me now. What you told me was what? Prove me now. After that, I carried the doctrine, threw the thing for him. Leave me alone. By that time, we are learning the doctrine of grace and mercy, the name of Jesus, asking in the name of Jesus, the blessing in him. He wanted to bring this one to us. Later, one brother now gave him one scripture. As soon as he gave it to me, I connected everything. I said, this doctrine is not true. The Lord is good. Anyway, that's not why I do what I do. I just let you know that each time I have scriptures to say to my people, this is not the word of God. They argued. I said, okay, let's go. All I did was to go back to the word I already knew. What is the word I know? God loves a cheerful giver. What is the word I know? My blessings are in Christ Jesus. What's what I know? God blesses people for giving if they have the right motive. To have the right motive, you are forbidden from thinking about what you will get out of the gift. You must never think about it. You are only allowed to think about what the blessing will do, where it's going. So if I bring out money and I want to give you, I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. So why do I give to you? It's a number of reasons. One, if you are somebody I'm supposed to honor, then I give to you whether you look rich or you look poor. It's irrelevant. For example, I must give to my parents. My parents-in-law, they're also my parents. My parents in the Lord, people like that. If you like, fly in with a private jet and I come with a keke. Once you are to be honored, I give to you. Honor, giving goes with honor. You don't honor people with mouth. Number two reason I give. Now, this is not in the order. These are just the things. Why you give to people. Number two reason, he said, this man passing by us is a holy man of God. So being a man, holy, being dedicated to God, this is what he does for a living. We must honor his God. So the woman told the husband and they took care of Elisha. Second reason people give is that this is a minister of the gospel. Tied to that, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, is that you remembered me. Say, you are those who labored with me in my afflictions. So working with Paul involves sending him gifts. So he said, I've received from you things you sent through Epaphroditus. He said it was a good smelling offering. He said, but I didn't need it. I've learned to manage my life. He said, but it's good that you have rekindled your love for me again. Are you seeing that? So working to propagate the gospel with those who are doing it actively is giving to God. It's another reason you give. And another reason why you give to somebody, you say, Paul said, if I ministered material and spiritual things to you, you are not doing me a favor when you return material blessings to me. There is a writing, it is written, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that is threshing out the wheat. These are the things I think about when I'm handing money to somebody. It does not include give so you can receive. There is a difference between give and it shall be given to you. There's a difference between that and give so that you can receive. No. If you do the other things we have said, God said clearly, there's credit to your account. But so that you don't spoil it, never ever think about what you are going to get when you are doing something. You know what? You don't even know what it can bring. People say, it's what you sow you will reap. Have you heard that thing before? It's true, but it's wrongly applied. They say, when you sow, I've seen people give them offering. I'm giving my offering in dollar so I can reap dollar. When covetous people are misinterpreting the scripture, it's easy to know. So they go and use naira, exchange to dollar, bring to church, sow it in naira, sow it in dollar, and then expect God to reward them in dollar. God said, as you they do calculation, now so me too they do. If what I wanted to give you back is 10,000, I will go and change you to the dollar equivalent and give you back. As if God cannot think. You know, we treat God as if he's a machine. The widow of Zarephath, did he give a child to Elisha? Did he? Sorry, the Shunammite woman, did she give a child to Elisha? Did God not give her a child back? So what seed did she sow now that brought a child? Why don't we reason? Spiritual seeds are spiritual. They are not physical. You cannot sow naira and say I must reap naira. You can't sow money and say I must reap money. Go and read Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus was speaking. Blessed are the poor. It shows what they receive. Blessed are the meek. Everything you sow is a spiritual trait. So he that honors me, what will I do? I will honor. How does honor come? Sometimes honor is nothing more than a bow. Sometimes honor is money. Jesus said, giving to your parents is fulfilling the commandment that says, honor the father and thy mother. I will honor. God's honor comes in different ways. Let's not treat God as if he does not reason, because he does. Let's rush, please. Our time is really running. Some of the questions people ask is Bible school question. What do I think of between law and grace? Do you have 2 hours? Let us start. Lecture on law and grace. Israel will take part 1. Inka will take part 2. I will come and summarize everything. I am sorry I cannot answer that question. It is too detailed. I've already answered the one of, can somebody lose us out? Do you know Jesus said something? Do this and I will not erase your name from my book. If names cannot be erased, why would Jesus threaten that? Did Jesus not threaten it? They are talking about salvation. Part of the question is, I'm sorry, some of these questions, they are so long, I can't even begin to answer them. So, whoever wrote these 4 questions, I've already answered one of them in the other person's zone. Is the 10 commandments still relevant? Every commandment has a spirit. Paul said, walk in the spirit of the law. Every commandment has a spirit. There's a spirit behind every commandment. So, you learn the spirit of the law, and you apply the spirit. The current commandment was not given to you. So, the question whether it's relevant or not has to be answered with that in mind. I don't know whether I get my point. Do you get what I'm saying? Let us assume now, I bought a shirt and I gave to you. And the shirt is made of pure silk. And they say, don't wash in water. Special dry cleaning. This and this and that. Are you getting my point? Now, are the commandments relevant? To who? To him. But me, my shirt is not pure silk. I did dunk this one for water regular. You will not ask me, why are you putting it in the water? I'll say his shirt was is silk, pure silk. The commandment is to him. My own is not. My own is regular material. They cut them for market. Taylor Swan, Atusia. So I did wash and normal. So I don't know whether you get what I'm applying it. the instruction was given to him. The Ten Commandments were given to Israel. However, do you see the character of God in them? Yes. So, back to the shirt matter. If I were to buy silk tomorrow, I know how silk is to be cared for, even though that silk shirt is not mine. Do you get my point? And if somebody said, I just bought a pure silk shirt, I say, wait, I remember one shirt I bought and gave one brother. I start learning. Then if I buy a material one day, I see it's a mixture of silk and linen. I start considering, does that apply? Then I start investigating. Are you getting my point here? That is, the Ten Commandments will teach you the character of God when it relates with people. But are they your commandments? Not necessarily. Let me give you an example. Therefore, there are things inside there you will find all over. For example, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All those things are inside there. And then you now find that what he's talking about there is that don't try to possess what belongs to another person. That principle is a representation of two laws that Jesus said we must obey, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the Ten Commandments, are they still relevant? You now find out that they are even shallow compared to Christian commandments. For thou shalt not covet is something, it's a physical coveting. One of them says that you will see me use legal means to take it. But the desire of the heart is what Jesus commands against. Anybody who keeps the laws of Jesus has kept the Ten Commandments and more. This is the third question on salvation. Is it forever? It must be an issue in Makurdi right now. Because I'm getting so many questions. That's the third person, but I've already answered that, so we won't bother. What is the correct or biblical way the following persons should pay their first fruit to God? It's not a Christian commandment, so just forget that side. Anyway, I'm not even checking the people you are talking about. It's irrelevant. The principle of first fruit is the principle of thanksgiving. Let me just say something about first fruit in the Bible. It's not the first earning, it's the first expenditure. Did you hear what I said? Oh, you don't understand. Under the law, first fruit was the first thing they took out of the farm, and they had to take it straight to before the priest. Let us assume I have a farm the size of the whole of Makurdi. My first fruit is not even allowed to be more than a basket. Are you getting my point? But it must be the first. It can be a bucket, yet my harvest is the whole of Makurdi. And listen, don't think what I've said is big. Americans have, they have farmers that have land that you can put three Makurdis inside, one farmer, wheat, corn. Such a person will harvest, what the Bible says, that the first he takes out of it must go straight to the temple. And it's as he likes it. There is no law. But nowhere was the Christian commanded to do that. The type, Jesus is the first fruit. So the first fruit was a type of Christ Jesus. For us, we don't have a first fruit, my brother. We have a life of what? A life lived on the altar. Give yourself as what? A living sacrifice. The manifestation in the life of a Christian is thanksgiving. If you want to be practical and legalistic about it, what it just means that anytime you earn, the first thing you take out of must be a gift. It must never be your need. That if you give me 1 million naira, even if my so-called first fruit is 100,000, if the first thing I do with money, 500, is buy granite and eat, I have spoilt it. The first money I take, the first check I issue must be as an offering, must be a gift to somebody, a ministry, a man of God, the needy, a widow, somebody I'm trying to help. But even that is not commanded. But it's good to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Let me tell you how you solve all this problem as a Christian. Just be a generous giver. Just be a cheerful giver. You wake up in the morning, you are giving. You're just giving. You're a giver. So what this calculation is, it my first or second or third or last fruit? Cheerful givers don't know it. So this legalism that churches have taught us today that is making me answer questions like this. How should a businessman do this? You see, I didn't finish reading what we were talking about. Once you get money, every money has seed for the sower and bread for food. Just take your money and pass it to the right side. Once money comes, end of the month for me, there are places I must give to. I must give to my mother. My mother is almost 80. I must not allow her to feel inflation. If prices go up in the market, offering go up too. They delay salary, they don't delay salary. That's the salary's problem. I must find the money. There are places like that, yank, yank. Ah, somebody say, thank God for mobile app. It makes offering easy. Before, I never go bank. I go to bank, maybe, unless I want to go and pick a new ATM card, those funny things. You all whip out your phone. Offering time, faithfulness time. Why I didn't say blessing time is that we are too selfish, so I don't like those things. Offering time, faithfulness time, give time, amen time. Jesus is Lord time. The thing can sweet, and you just bring out your phone and be shelling out the money. Small, small, to all the portions that the Lord has commanded. Stop thinking of yourself. You don't have to buy a car, don't worry. You don't have to build a house, don't worry. You don't have to own land. If you die, they'll give you, those wicked people that are still alive, they will give you only, the one they will give you is just from here, to there. And they will eat because you died. Look at them, wicked people. I died, you are eating. You should be mourning. They will gather, come, come, go, 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 go. So while I'm alive, I'm not going to think of all of you. I'll just think of Jesus Christ to obey him. What am I going to say? I'm not buying land. It's not, are you getting my point? Because when you are dead, they will give you only small like this. Why don't you do something that counts for eternity? Some people, they gather money, gather money, gather money. It doesn't, look, when they die, you just want to look. Say, this is all the money you have gathered. Let me see where they will bury you. And some people will even bury you there so they can sell the house. They say, no, let's bury him in the village. Why? They don't want to spoil the house in Makurdi. What am I saying? Why don't be gathering these things? You will leave them behind. Make generosity a lifestyle, and all these questions will not be necessary. Is it good to confess to a man of God and ask him prayer for God's mercy? Did you offend him? If you did not offend him, it's not necessary. No. Did you offend him? If you took my money, come and confess to me. I'm waiting after service, and now you will pay fourfold. But if you did not take my money, please, don't worry about it. But if you need counsel, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. You go for it. Go with a friend that loves the Lord. Don't come and queue up before a man of God and pray for God's mercy. You can get God's mercy anywhere, anytime. But, I mean, if somebody is your friend, a mentor, you can talk to him. But it's not the man of God office that you are confessing to, no. Okay. Let me just answer only one of these. I can't answer all of them. In this generation of mercy, can God abandon somebody entirely if he steeps his sins without stopping? If you are the one that sinned without stopping, I hope you will stop today. In which case, he has not abandoned you. That's why you are here, to ask this kind of question. And if he's not you, why are you asking this kind of question then? So you see, the answer is easy. The Lord is good. Let me just add something. People, we can't sin forever hoping God's mercy will always be there. Because we don't know the day that we either die or he returns. Let's just leave it like that. All right? The Lord is good. I have to rush to the rest. Speaking in tongues matter will come up another time. Not today. Tithing, I've already said enough about it. Don't think I can sit down and be looking at it again. And if you want to read more about it, do we have this book here? Grace to Prosper. Israel. Grace to Prosper is out there. Okay, if you have Grace to Prosper, at the back, please buy the book, read the back. I discuss on tithing extensively. Or go to our blog. I have different things on the website. Please look for it. All right? Just read them. I cannot take time out to go through. That one, 22 pages, I explained it line by line. Okay? There is a spirit behind the tithe. Learn that spirit. Okay? Please try and learn the spirit. All right? Somebody's, I like this question. Please let me ask. Read this one. Yesterday, you taught that the headsman attack is a result of sin and God sent allowed, I like that, sent or allowed, whichever one, the attacks. I like the way you framed it. Some other Bible teachers say attacks from the pit of hell, sent to truncate God's agenda, especially for Benue State. They cite the scripture, in God there is no evil, and God is love, and God kills no one, but only the devil does that. Can you reconcile this? First, they don't read their Bible. Who killed everybody in the time of Noah? I hope that has settled that one. No, Christians like all this romantic God. God is good. He doesn't punish anybody. One brother was arguing with me. I opened for him to Revelations that Jesus said, warn that woman, Jezebel, that I will strike her children dead if she does not repent. I said, who said it? I couldn't get an answer. He said, I will cast on the bed of affliction. Who said it? I didn't get an answer. Please, don't get this impression that God did vex them, the Bible says, roundabout. When God punishes people, he uses sword, pestilence, natural disasters, and famine. Read your Bible. Because nobody should give me this impression that there is no evil in God, there is judgment in God. Satan doesn't have the kind of power we think he has. He only has the power to tempt and to accuse. Except we give him the power of sin, he doesn't have the power of death. Let's get that one clear. Nobody should come and give me common sense Christianity. God is always good. Who told you he's bad? Was he bad when he killed everybody in the time of Noah? He said the earth had been filled with violence. The meditation of the hearts of man was wicked all the time. He said, there is none righteous. No, not one. He said, because I did not find an intercessor, I brought forth my indignation. Not Satan's indignation. My indignation upon it. That's what the Bible calls the wrath of God. Don't these people read the Bible? I've seen Christians say that the wrath of God is in your heart. You just be feeling bad. I say, eh? Say, God chastises you on the inside. I said, well, I didn't know how to chastise my children on the inside. I turned their bum bum and chastised them on the bum bum outside. And they learned the fear of God. They don't love me less because of it. I remember one day, one of the younger ones misbehaving. My daughter said, eh? That day we flog you, won't go to church. Because one day, I flogged her. Literally, she did not go to church. So she never forgot. He said, eh, that day we flog you, won't go to church. Yeah, that same daughter of mine, she's a big girl now. If she sees me pack a bag, she's like, daddy, are you traveling? She's always unhappy if she feels I'm not coming home that day. Flogging children don't make them dislike you. They love you more. Just don't do it uselessly and out of anger. Let the child not be confused as to what is going on. You wake up this morning, you hug him. Tomorrow you wake up, you slap him. Then the child says, this daddy, does he have bipolar disease? But let them connect every affliction with disobedience. Are you getting my point? Not with something wrong, but with what? Disobedience. If a child breaks a glass, it's not a sin, it's a mistake. But if he's told the child, don't touch glass cups, use the plastic, then when he touches the glass cup, it's disobedience. And God does like that to us also. Okay, Nano? Mm-hmm. Sorry, those of you in Benin, it means, I hope you heard me. It's Enugu language I was speaking there. No, we are from the east. Hallelujah. So please, let's forget that thing. Satan's agenda is temptation. He doesn't want the gospel to prosper. But he never has the inroad into our lives unless we open the door for him. Why can't we just tell our people, repent and be saved? God said, is my hand too short that I cannot deliver? We need to close. Okay, I have a sister trapped by these false prophets, saying the family are evil. So, sir, how can we help her out? How do I know the will of God for my life? Two questions and then we are done. First, let's talk about your sister. It's interesting, but I've had an experience with a friend whose family was taken over by false prophets many years ago. And he came and we prayed. It took us 10 minutes. We broke their powers over the family's life. And his father kicked all of them out that week. They bewitch people. They cast a spell. They bewitch. They trap people. You can pray for your sister and command the power of Satan in her life to be broken if she's been bewitched. Okay? However, you cannot force an adult to do what you want. Some people like it like that. They like to blame their neighbor. And as long as your sister likes it like that, she will always be trapped. And there's nothing me, you, or God can do about it. God requires people's cooperation. We must learn the truth. So one of the things you can do to your sister is give her messages that establish her in the truth of the word of God. While praying like Paul for her, that God will give her the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of her understanding will be enlightened. Prayer is important. Then, if you feel she's really behaving awkward, pray. God will give you, an anointing will come upon you, a firm assurance of faith will rise and you will break the power of Satan over her life that's blocking her views. And then you pray the second prayer, because sometimes God gives us these gaps to intervene. So the power of Satan, deception, is broken, but she has to have understanding. But these two things must now be added at the end of the day to her own will. She does not want to be free. You can't force freedom on anybody. But you can try this for a few years. You be patient too. And then sometimes when you pray some hard prayer, God will do her strong thing. One day she will come to for prayer. Prophets will remove her clothes. Then common sense will tell her to run. The prophet won't know why he did it. It's God. You know, you don't know angels. Angels can make you go mad. That's why they say an evil spirit from God possessed a tormented soul. That's how those prophets, that's how you lick them. You say, God, we all know they are all adulterers. All of them. All of them. They can't help it. When you lie in the name of the Lord, the spirit of harlotry will possess you. Just pray for your sister now. Prophet will grab her skirt one day. Now he bashed her and said she go run. It happened to somebody I know. Went for prayer. Man of God said, do you want the real anointing? He said, yes, remove your cloth. He said, how they come? She never came back. Do I need to tell you? So God knows how even will disgrace the prophet. One of these prophets, Jaguda. You know they call Jaguda? Criminal. Don't worry. Another way God will do for sister, she will soon go broke. When prophet has finished collecting your money, you know they will leave you alone. That's another way prophets do it. Just go broke. They are no longer interested in your case. They keep on using you when you have money. But if you don't give offering for 3 days, your prophecies will dry up. They go to the next mugu. You know what they call mugu? Mugu is what 419 boys call people they are defrauded. So God will help your sister one way or another. She will become free. But you have to pray. That prayer is not a joke. It's serious work. And then also give her matter. Please read this. Please read this book. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. No, there's no question again. I finished every question. Okay, knowing God's will, please read the book, guided by the Spirit. See, there's a reason why I write books and magazines and all of that. The reason is because when we come for things like this, it may look like we're here for hours. But I've taught constantly like this since the year 2003, recorded. I have over 1,200 messages on our website. And does not include all these our seminars. We have a few seminars there, but after, a few years ago, we stopped putting seminars because the place will be crowded. This is like the fourth seminar this year. Apart from the one we do in Enugu twice a week. I go to Abakaliki with my guys also every week. So we have a lot. We have explained and explained and explained. So that's when we ask a question. I say, please read this book. Please listen to this message. So please, like this message you just asked now, this question, how do I know God's will for my life? Just go to our website. Just type God's will. You will download nothing less than 50 messages. Going like left, right, taking examples, discussing, joking, telling, you know, saying things different ways. I can't do that in 5 minutes. And if I start to do it for 30 minutes, I know you are not tired. I am tired. And when we drive slowly. We still have to get to Enugu today. You say, check out. So that's why I say, please, read the book, Guided by the Spirit. You can buy a copy or if you are the, you know, the device type, download it from the internet. It's free if you download online. But if you want a physical copy, you pay for that. But if it's online, click download. 2 megabytes maximum. You can read it on your tab. It's not good for phones, really, but tab, computer, you can read it. This will of God thing, I went through it step by step. About 3 books, many articles on that subject. So just go to our website. Please browse around. Most questions people ask on doctrine, I have dealt with it here and there. Like, how do I know God's voice? I always tell people, don't worry. What did I say? Don't worry. Because you heard God's voice does not mean you obey it. Those who heard God, and you heard God's voice doesn't mean it's correct. God can tell you something and it is wrong. I want you to get shocked before I explain. Yeah? Get shocked. Faint now. Have you recovered from fainting? That Pastor Banky said, God can say something that is wrong. Let me prove it. Did Balaam hear God or didn't hear God? Was he right or he was wrong? You see now? You're not even sure to answer. I don't blame you. He was wrong. Do you want to go? Should I go? God said, go. As soon as he left, God said, kill him for going. Why? God never wanted him to go. He only heard go because his heart wanted to go. So what you hear is not necessarily in alignment with the true will of God. It's what you are able to hear. So I tell you, why are you worried about hearing? Concern yourself with preparing your heart to obey. And how do you do that? Just obey the one you know now. Are you getting my point? And when he needs to talk, see, hearing God does not require practice. I'm sorry, I disagree with people who say practice it. I disagree. What you need is to, the Bible says, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have exercised what? Exercised what? Their senses to discern between good and evil. Learn from God's word to know what is right and what is wrong. That's what God says you should practice. As for the voice of God, God knows how to shout. Which prophet did you see in the Bible that was sensitive to the Spirit? They were not. Amos was going. God said, hey, you, stop. Who's that? I have called you a prophet. I'm not a prophet, I'm a shepherd. Doesn't matter. Go and take my word to my people. He heard God. He didn't have to be saying, I perceive in my spirit that maybe God wants us to go and talk to the people. Nothing like that. God knows how to shout. Let's not pretend like he doesn't know how to shout. When he wanted to talk to John, come up hither, put him into the spirit. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That's literally Greek. Not Sunday. People say Lord's day. No. Literally, it's on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice. He heard it clearly. They didn't practice. See, Christians practicing. Wait. Arise, go, cross the road with your eyes blindfolded. God spoke to me. Then they go and die with trailer. When God wants to talk, he can shout. What we call sensitivity of heart is a heart that is soft, willing to apply itself to the will of God. That's what we practice. You hear a truth, you pray with it until it becomes part of you. That's practice. Not, I hear God. You don't hear anything. You know, this human mind is powerful. You can create pictures. You can dream dreams that God did not create. Read my book, please. I discuss all of these things inside there. True Christian life is a daily walk, taking the word, applying it to yourself, cleansing your ways. Anything you know is wrong, you pray until you don't do it anymore. That's what Christianity is about. I hope you are blessed. I hope you know I'm tired. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, thank you very much for coming. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed my teaching today. In fact, I felt as if I was riding on the Spirit, you know. It's not by myself, not by power. So I enjoyed it. And it's always like that when people are listening to you. If you ever preach to where people are not listening to you, you feel as if there's a weight on your soul. And you want to talk, your voice will get stuck here. 15 minutes will be like 6 hours. I'm shocked to know that I've been standing here almost continuously for over 3 hours. You know? But I feel so good. Were it not for hunger things, I can do another 2 hours. Just as men, when hunger sets in, bros, you need to go chop. Even Jesus, they eat. Even after resurrection, he asked for fish. So let's forget this thing. I'm going to eat to a egg. The Lord is good. And it's true now. It's not a sin. People say that I'm fast. I said, me? Any fast that's not letting me see straight is not of God. So I'm going on fast for 1 week. No food. If you die, nobody will be saved. Trust me. That is people do, I don't know. Say 100 days fast. I say, Now, wow. What did you commit? You have to have committed something because... According to my mother, did you kill somebody? I don't know. They say you want to hear from God like this. You are not hearing from God. Satan is talking to you. Trust me. A man has not eaten for 3 straight days. He is hearing from God. Is it possible? Your brain is misfiring. You know I'm a doctor. I know what I'm telling you. You call hypoglycemic induced hallucination. You will see things. Three straight days, not reach up. Are you a Hindu? I don't know for human beings. So this Christianity, what have they turned it into? He said, Moses did not eat for 40 days. He was in the presence of God, my brother. Me, for eternity, me too, I will not eat in the presence of God. What about Elijah? Angels serve him 2 doses of opa. He can't eat for 40 days. Listen. No, why people? How can people get these things? Angel cook for you? It has not, the last one has not digested. You are talking about this thing. You see, but Jesus fasted for 40 days. Go and read your Bible where. The Bible says, afterwards he became hungry. He was not hungry for 40 days. I don't manufacture these things. They are in your scriptures. Open the Bible, say, afterwards he became hungry. You, the first day, you're already walking like this, and you're telling me that you're fasting. I beg, I don't know what you're doing, I don't know. I beg, leave me out of it. The Lord is good. Look, eating food does not stop God from talking to you. Go and see Hannah. The Bible says he ate and she ate and drank. Afterwards, she went to the temple, and Samuel came. Some of you didn't know Hannah chop before you go pray. The Lord is good. Just by the way, a Christian fast is not punishment of the flesh, it's seclusion to focus on the word of God and prayer. So what is one you are not eating, you are watching Manchester United. You are deceiving yourself. The women will be there watching Telemundo, they say they are fasting. Mexicans are deceiving you, they say you are fasting. Fasting means you go to you say, like we've been here for a few hours. I've not eaten today. All I've drank is water. All the men with me, they have not eaten. All they've been drinking is water. Some of you have not eaten. And you have not left here to go and eat. What does that mean? That's a fast. People think a fast is when you say, no, we will not eat. No, I'm not eating it. No, bros. This one, there's no opportunity to eat it. Yet you did not get up to go. That's what the Bible meant, that they ministered to God and fasted. They did not leave the ministration, the place of meeting, to go and attend to their bodies. Hindu fast is different. Let's not fast like Hindus. Anyway, that's just by the way. How did we get into that? You started it. All right, so it's been nice being here with you. We'll come again. We intend to be more regular. Please, I hope all of us registered. We need information. There's a reason why we have a Bible study that we hold regularly every week in Makurdi here on Saturdays. I'll send you details. For certain, I wanted to tell you the details, but I was supposed to have a meeting beforehand, but I didn't. So I'll let you have the detail. What we do is that we send the teaching material. So people just gather together. If you just want to share word with people of like mind, you just come, you share the word together. Somebody leaves. We send the materials from our headquarters in Enugu. And then what we would do is come once in a while to join the study. And this kind of teaching, we do that periodically. So we hope to be here again early next year with this kind of meeting. Okay, Kingdom Word is not a church. It's not planning to become one shortly, not at all. We have done Kingdom Word Ministries since 2000 and, well, registered 2001 thereabout, but meeting regularly 2003. Okay, and we are still meeting in Enugu like this till now. So please, if you are looking for where you can study scriptures, we'll get you information. Just watch out for your emails, and especially your phone numbers. We'll send the information by phone number. So that one is every week, once on Saturdays. Is it evenings or mornings? Evenings. Saturday evenings. Okay? Yes, 4:30. So you just join to study the scriptures. Just the kind of thing we're discussing. We prepare the scripts in Enugu. Okay? All right? And then we'll just study. Then, like I said, periodically we will be coming and join, study with the people here. But it's outreach seminar that takes time like this. We'll probably be like once every quarter. Yes. That will come, stay 2 days, answer questions. Sorry, please, let me just apologize. Some of you ask questions that are too personal. Like, what do I do at this stage in my life? Check it now. I can't answer it. I don't even know who you are. Are you getting my point? So I can only answer questions that bring out general principles. So that's why sometimes I'll go through some questions. I'll just pick out principles in it and explain. And things that I have already thrashed out in other materials, I save time by not talking about them at all, or just mention them briefly, then referring you to the appropriate material. Please use our website. Some people say, I'm not used to these technology things. Learn it. Who was born with it? It's something you can spend your money on. It's worth it. Good smartphones now, solid, strong ones, are not expensive anymore. You can save for it. Buy a good smartphone so you can download messages. everything we preach, apart from these seminars, we put on our website. Now, what was on television today, you missed it on TV. It's already on the website. You understand? Just go download it, Lifted by the Lord one. Click on it. It plays for you. Television is 58 minutes, 56 plus announcements, so 58. Less than an hour. But the full one is 1 hour, 30 minutes complete. So you listen to it at your convenience. So please, don't say things like, I'm not into this. I know one man in Lagos. He listens to me all the time. You know what I call all the time? His wife is even tired of me. Do you hear what I said? Because when they are sleeping, the husband is listening to me. She told me that, I said, Pastor, even if he's talking to Buhari, you will still be talking. And the man was talking to me, and he was still listening to me. It sounds funny, right? When I saw him, we entered the lift together in his house. We're going to up to where we're supposed to stay. And I was hearing my voice. And I was a bit confused. He now said, sorry. He now brought out his phone from his pocket and put it off. That I listen to you all the time. We entered the car together. As we entered the car like this, he said, man of God, like I was saying, reflexly, he has brought out the phone. He has put it on and put it down. And I felt like, sir, I'm talking to you. You don't need that one. So please, we'll send you the information for those who might be interested, all right? Okay, or one of our brother is there at the back, Dr. Mba. You can ask him questions, take his contacts and contact. Wave your hand. Yes, you can talk to him later to get information. So please, it's not church, so you can come. It's once a week, 1.5 hours thereabout. You study the scriptures together and then you go back. And then we'll be back, like I said, periodically. So please get those materials, everything on our website. The place is loaded. Many people talk like me. They think they know everything I know simply because they've gone there to research. That's how I learned too. There was let me not start now. If I give you my testimony, I will be buying messages. I will be broke. My mother will say, your auntie said you spend all your money on tips. I said to my mother, what did you say? My auntie said that I spend what? Your money. Whose money? My money. That settles it. That's how I used to end the argument. My money. Mommy, she is my money. You don't blame her for saying so. I was too broke. One day my wife said, I don't have words for you. We're not married that time. We're talking on the phone. Why? I was so broke, yet I saw a book. I borrowed money, bought the book. I didn't borrow money to eat. She said, I don't have words for you. Now, she has married me anyway. She's enjoying it now. The word works. Amen? Amen. It makes Christ out of people. All right, the Lord is good. Remember, we have books and stuff outside. Olainka, when is offering time? Anytime that God blesses you. That's it. Some people say, Pastor Banky, I like him. He doesn't take money. Who said so? Have you given me and I rejected it? Some people just be spoiling your name in the society. What we just say is that it's free will. You don't cajole people. You don't pressure people. All right, that's why we always make the opportunity for people to give. All right, and so we always do that. Israel has a place we can use, and we have our account information written boldly there. You can just copy it, and anytime God blesses you, if you remember us, 12 midnight, next week, next month, is when you have. Are you getting my point? Someone says, I can't borrow to give. It's not right to borrow to give as long as you don't borrow for any other thing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yeah, some people, they will buy shirt too. 3 months, they're still praying for shirts. And I say, I don't borrow to give. How can you have to give when you are paying for share for 3 months? No, wicked people, they have a way of not. I don't bother people like that, too. Because God has enough good children. We don't worry ourselves with people who don't want to obey God. Buy land on credit, bought car on credit. Federal Mortgage Bank has lent you 15 million to build that small bungalow that can catch fire. Give for eternity now. No. It's according to what the man has. The man has a house. The man has a car. He has land. He's having. You know, some people, they budget so tight. Pianca cannot fall free. Me, I don't worry about such people. I tell them there's no wahala. You know, I love God. When God wants to do you in, he sends you a false prophet. Sow this house, you will have the skyscraper. As soon as you sow it, you're on your own. You're homeless. And God will not feel bad. They say, I want you to be generous. And the Lord is good. So we Christians, we are generous givers. So the way we operate in kingdom world is that anytime God bless you and you remember us, just join your money to what we are doing, taking the gospel here and there. All right, and he will reward you abundantly in Jesus' name. Can we rest our feet? Father, we give you praise. Hey, I really wish we had the keyboard. I'd love to sing a song of two. But let's just thank him in our own ways. Let's say thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say thank you. Let's just thank him from the bottom of your heart, using your own words. Thank him for healing again. I want you to thank him because you are healed. Thank him because your loved one is healed. Thank him because you are free. Thank him because the freedom of Christ is in you. Thank him because everywhere you step, the peace of God enters into the place. Everywhere you step, the peace of God radiates into Benue State because of you, into Nasarawa because of you. It radiates to Kogi because of you, into Enugu because of you. Everywhere you go, Taraba, you step into it. Peace, 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 peace comes, peace comes. You are the salt of the earth. Thank God because he's radiating his peace onto the earth. Thank him because he's the Prince of Peace. Call him the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord that makes wars cease. He makes wars cease. Thank him, oh Lord. You have caused our wars to cease. Thank you for the spirit of repentance in your church and in the land. The outbreak of revival in the land, in the name of Jesus. Bless Benue again. Declare with your words. Say, Benue is blessed in the name of Jesus. Bless. Remember we say, bless the land with your words. Bless the land with your words. Say, Benue, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. We claim you for Jesus truly. We claim you truly for Jesus. We claim you truly for Jesus. Every corner of this city, every corner of this state, we claim it for Jesus. Jesus, be Lord. Lord, go into the villages, be Lord. Be in the city, be Lord. Every corner, be Lord. Be Lord over the highways. Be Lord over the farms. Be Lord over the homes. Be Lord over the churches. Be Lord over the mosques. Be Lord everywhere. Let your name be magnified. Let your name be magnified. Show mercy upon your people. Show mercy upon your people. Let's thank him because he has heard us. Spend a minute and thank God for this city. Spend a minute and thank God for this state. Because wars have ceased. Because wars have ceased. Because wars have ceased. Because there's forgiveness in our hearts. Because anger is removed. Because submission to the will of God is done, is perfected in our lives. Let's thank him. Say, Lord, we worship you. We say thank you. We say thank you. Jesus, we say thank you. Jesus, we say thank you. We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. For your goodness, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my Lord.
We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. For your mercy, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, our Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord, thank you for your blessing upon our land. Lord, we dedicate ourselves again to serving you. Thank you for this weekend in your presence. Thank you for the healing of our bodies. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you depart from here, goodness will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mercy will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
I said no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Neither will it befall your family.
Amen.
In all that you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
Those hands, remember, we prayed over them before. I declare again, they are blessed hands.
Amen.
And whatever you put those hands to do, we prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you put those hands to do, we prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anywhere you lay it to work, it will prosper.
Amen.
Favor will come to it.
Amen.
Skill will come to it.
Amen.
Listen, whatever you are doing, you will become better.
Amen.
If you are a doctor, you are a better doctor.
Amen.
If you are a carpenter, you are a better and more skillful one than before.
Amen.
If you are a mechanic, your ear will be like a computer.
Amen.
It will diagnose without using a diagnostic set.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you are a tailor, you will carve out artistic designs.
Amen.
Look, whatever you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are a teacher, aha, those are my favorite people. The spirit of knowledge will move through you.
Amen.
Into the young and the old.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do, in all that you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And abound to every good work.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Poverty is dead in your life.
Amen.
Henceforth, you are a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And you are an able giver.
Amen.
You know, there's giving in which you have the heart, but the resources is small. But there's one in which you have the heart and you have the means. Both, they are yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The heart to give is yours.
Amen.
What to give comes to you.
Amen.
Let me say that again. It's the word of God. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can we share the grace in fellowship? Check, open your magazines, please, to page 11. Anytime we go kingdom world, that's how we do it. Now let's declare it. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless somebody who has been sitting around you for some time. Say, this is your season of multiplication and dominion. Another person. Another person. One more person. Now declare it for yourself. This is my season. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. God bless you. He's well with you. I'll see you next time.